This message comes from NPR sponsor Chevron, taking action to keep methane in the pipe. They've trialed advanced detection technologies and are committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. More at chevron.com/methane.
Hi, this is Casey from Oslo, Norway. I'm about to take my dog Fish out on our afternoon walk. This podcast was recorded at
2:10 Eastern on Tuesday, January 26th.
Things may have changed by the time you hear this, but it will most likely still be wet and cold over here. Enjoy the show.
Is his dog's name Fish?
That's what I heard.
That's fun.
Yes. And we got a little snow over this way, so it's been kind of wet and snowy over here.
Speaking of dogs, we haven't addressed it in the podcast yet. Joe Biden's two dogs moved to the White House over the weekend, so they are also going out in the cold here in D.C. Hey there, it's the NPR Politics Podcast. I'm Scott Detrow. I cover the White House.
I'm Aisha Roscoe. I also cover the White House.
And I'm Carrie Johnson, National Justice Correspondent.
So, today is the latest in a series of executive actions being rolled out and signed by President Biden. Today, he is focusing on racial equity. In a tweet this morning, Biden said, quote, America has never lived up to its founding promise of equality for all. And today, he's taking action, as he put it, to push us closer to that more perfect union. Aisha, let's start with what was in the orders that Biden signed today.
Yeah, so basically what President Biden was doing today, he directed the Department of Housing and Urban Development to advance fair housing laws. It seems like what Biden is trying to do is bring back some Obama-era policies protecting against discrimination. He's also going to direct the Attorney General not to renew contracts for privately run prisons. Mm-hmm. So this is a part of kind of the criminal justice piece of this. He's also committing to respect tribal sovereignty. And also the last piece of this is fighting the rise in harassment and violence against Asian Americans, especially in wake of the coronavirus pandemic and some of the language and rhetoric used by the prior administration regarding that.
So I'm really, really curious what both of you think about this, because both of you cover different aspects of these stories and have for a while. You know, the White House clearly rolled these out with the goals of headlines that they are taking big steps on something they've said is a big priority. But what do you both make of the substance of what Biden has signed here? Is this a big deal or not really as big of a deal?
It seems to me this is more of a symbolic action than anything else. There are two areas in particular that do require a change, but the change would be restoring a policy from the Obama years. The first is this fair housing issue and a return to disparate impact, which allows people to prove discrimination even if they don't have evidence of intent. They can do it through data and other means. And the other thing was the closure or the phasing out of contracts with private prisons, which they describe as a clear move because the Inspector General of the Justice Department in 2016 found evidence that private prisons are a little bit less safe than ones run by the federal government. And so those are both things that we saw the Obama years do, but former President Trump, promptly overruled or changed those policies. And I suppose the next president could change them right back.
And that's the thing, you know, the thing about the private prisons piece, you know, I talked to an activist yesterday, and one concern that was raised was that this rule or this direction will only apply to the Department of Justice. It will not apply to the Department of Homeland Security, which runs detention centers like those that the public saw during, and this wasn't just during the Trump administration, but obviously you had family separation. You saw people staying in these crowded detention centers. There were all these reports about abuses and things happening at certain detention centers. And so that is not going to be addressed. I think we will be hearing more from activists raising that concern that this only applies to the Department of Justice.
You know, while these executive orders, these four executive orders, may have been a little bit more about symbolism and messaging than about prompt and direct action. Mm-hmm. I will point out that civil rights advocates across the board have had a ton of praise for some of President Biden's nominees for top jobs. That includes people like Vanita Gupta to be the Associate Attorney General and Kristen Clark, another civil rights advocate, to lead the Civil Rights Division at Justice. But it also includes people who are not Senate confirmed. There are people like Catherine Lehman, who led the Commission on Civil Rights before she went into the White House to be a deputy working on domestic policy. And longtime civil rights lawyers like Sasha Sandberg Champion, who's now at HUD, and Sam Bagenstos from the University of Michigan, who's now the top lawyer at the Office of Management and Budget. These are not naturally places where you'd see veterans of the Justice Department civil rights community, but the Biden administration has named really civil rights experts to a lot of these jobs, which may mean that we're going to see more action and more important action down the road.
We're going to talk more about the possible future policies that we'll be looking for after the break. But before we get there, just going back to the private prisons, Aisha, this is something that obviously a lot of advocates have been calling for a long time. But I was looking at the language about not renewing contracts rather than outright canceling contracts. How quickly could some of these prisons start to shut down or no longer take federal inmates if they're waiting for contracts to come up?
Well, that's the other part of this that makes it not something that's going to be immediate, because it's basically saying that these contracts have to expire first and then they just won't renew them. Now, I'm sure if you talk to government policy people, what they may say is, because you have a contract, you can't just end it immediately. There are terms of the contract. Maybe the government would have to pay, or the other contract holders could sue. I'm sure Carrie could speak to that more. But that means that this isn't something that is going to happen immediately, that, you know, this could be years in the making. And unless you put this, unless this is codified by Congress, you know, this is something that is passed into law, it could be something that continues to be this, what is it, a football, a table tennis, a ping pong, going back and forth mm-hmm. between Republican and Democratic administrations, which happens on certain policies. That means that it doesn't have the long-term impact that it might.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the Justice Department in a beautiful conference room in 2016 as then Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates rolled out her policy to end contracts with private prisons, and then the election happened, and that didn't happen. So, you know, elections have consequences, and executive orders can be overturned with the stroke of a pen.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will look down the road a little bit and talk about some of the policies that were not in today's orders, but the Biden administration has flagged that they will address in the near future.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu. This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options within your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are still in the middle of this pandemic. And right now, having science news you can trust, from variants to vaccines, is essential. NPR Shortwave has your back. About 10 minutes every weekday, listen and subscribe to Shortwave, the daily science podcast from NPR.
And we're back. And today, Susan Rice took the lead in rolling these policies out. She is known as the former National Security Advisor during the Obama administration. In the Biden administration, she's going to be focusing on domestic policy. She's now the director of the Domestic Policy Council. And she came well-armed for some of the pushback that we were talking about in the first part of this podcast, that some of the details here were not exactly sweeping reforms. She was making the point, this is the seventh day of the Biden administration.
I think you've seen that we have rolled out an unprecedented number of early executive actions. And as you've heard Jen say and many of my colleagues say, this is just the beginning. We have 1,454 more days left in President Biden's first term. And so give us a little something to do over the next few days.
Obviously, they are going to be facing a lot of pressure because they, you know, have this administration has been touted for being experienced, having, you know, that they are going to hit the ground running. And so they're going to have their feet held to the fire on that. But they're trying to make the point, look, this is early days. We have a lot more time and a lot more things that the administration can do. I do, you know, I will point out that the nominee for Attorney General Merrick Garland has not been confirmed yet. But there was some expectation that today that you might see more action on policing and things of that nature. And what Susan Rice seemed to be signaling is to basically stay tuned, that some more action, including on policing, will be coming in the coming weeks.
And it's not action on policing, but actually, as we were talking just now, I'm just seeing that President Biden is speaking, and he announced another step, that the administration is rescinding the Trump administration's 1776 commission report. This is something that came out in the final days of the Trump administration and boiled down to a criticism of any sort of understanding of U.S. history that points out that the U.S. has had some flaws, namely even addressing the fact that slavery was a massive part of the early days of this country. So Biden said, unity and healing must begin with understanding and truth, not ignorance and lies. So obviously more steps to come. Carrie, on the area of criminal justice, what are the top policies that you've heard kind of signaled that they might take place, and what are you going to be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, some of these things, Scott, could happen relatively quickly and via executive action. Things like the new attorney general or DOJ leadership telling prosecutors, you no longer need to seek the most serious charges against somebody that you can prove. You can use some discretion so as to reduce the number of people who go to prison in the first place and how long they have to spend there. Things like trying to limit the Defense Department program that provides military-style equipment to local police departments, part of this trend of militarization of police that has gotten activists so upset and enraged in recent years. And then things that are certainly top of mind in the COVID-19 pandemic, like making sure that elderly people who no longer pose as big a threat to society can leave prison early. Scott, to my view, some of the most significant things Biden has pledged, including some of the stuff on policing, would require potentially congressional input. Mm-hmm. That means reducing disparities in sentences for drug crimes. That means getting rid of other so-called mandatory minimum sentences for people convicted of a whole bunch of different stuff. And there is a group called the Council on Criminal Justice that is advocating for policing changes, things like reducing the number of no-knock warrants that are granted, or making sure that police understand in some cases that they have a duty to intervene when they see another officer engaging in abuse or excessive force, kind of a national standard of force for police. Those are all things really near the top of the civil rights advocate community's bucket list. And Biden has not taken action on those. There's been some talk, but not yet concrete steps.
And there was also this pledge that that President Biden said, or candidate Biden said, that after everything happened with George Floyd and all the protests, that he would set up a commission on policing. There has been some concern about that because there was a commission on policing during the Obama administration. So there's a sense of, does the government actually need another commission to do some of those things that Carrie was talking about? I think activists are saying they feel like the government knows what needs to be done and that it doesn't really need to be studied at this point. But that is something that he pledged to do. And I would expect, because he made a pledge, that will happen in coming weeks and months, that there will be a commission set up to look at some of those issues.
All right, that is a wrap for today. We'll be back in your feeds tomorrow. We're planning on focusing on the Biden administration's new climate policies tomorrow. I'm Scott Detrow. I cover the White House.
I'm Aisha Roscoe. I also cover the White House.
And I'm Carrie Johnson, national justice correspondent.
Thank you for listening to the NPR Politics Podcast.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot, so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.